probate. If you're in the real estate business, you probably know at least a little bit about it. Our guest on today's show knows lots. We talk with attorney Al Nicoletti, who specializes in probate and guides clients through the process every day. Al clears up a few misconceptions about probate in Florida and tells us how to be prepared before it takes place. You can listen in on our conversation on the Royal Palmcast beginning right now.
You're listening to the Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. My name is Jim Sandville, your host. I am here with Jerry Johnson on the board. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jim. Good morning to you.
Feeling all right?
I am. We are just getting past, at least at the time of recording, Labor Day weekend, which was
Labor
nice.
Labor Day weekend. Yes, yes. Did you have a good long weekend?
I did.
Three days?
Tried to have a lot less labor. I did some labor the first part, but last part, it was laborless.
Laborless, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah? Did you have any good meals? Good restaurants?
Oh, I did. We went to a seaside place, a little outside of our area, which is, you know, our beautiful sunny Southwest Florida.
It is beautiful and sunny here. You're right.
We ventured a little further north this time and had a nice time on the beach.
Cool.
Up in Nokomis area.
Cool. Did you see the sunset?
We did. It was beautiful.
Ah, wow. Wow. Yep. You can't beat those Gulf sunsets.
No.
I don't know. East Coast sunsets. I guess the sunrise is the big thing there. I'll get into that with our guest who happens to hang out on the East Coast of Florida from time to time. This, by the way, is the show where we talk about real estate. We talk about every aspect of it. If you're a realtor, you will be interested in what we have to say. If you're a home buyer, a home seller, a homeowner, and if you live in a home, you will probably pick up something you need to know right here on the Royal Palmcast. And as we alluded to, we're in Fort Myers, Florida at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, where the weather is always sunny and bright. All right, so today I want to talk to our guest right now, who is a very interesting guy, tough get, because he came all the way down from Jacksonville, Florida, where he has offices. He's an attorney, a real estate attorney, specializing in probate and other matters throughout the state of Florida. His name is Al Nicoletti. Welcome, Al.
Jim, thank you so much for having me. Jerry, pleasure being here. I love talking about real estate, love talking about probate, so I'm so happy to be here with you both.
I guess we get the right guy for this gig, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glad to have you.
Probate. Yeah. Probate is one of those big, scary, hairy topics and no one is really that interested in until they're super interested in it, and maybe it's a little too late at times, but we'll get into that in just a minute. But first, tell me, if you will, Al, a little bit about yourself. Where are you from originally?
Originally from Miami. I used to have a music background, played violin for 15 years, was really into all of the music world. Back then, I had a choice of being in two PEs or also being in PE and music. And my mom was like, you know what? If you go into the music world, this could be a completely different world. So I went into the music world, played violin 15 years, and realized that music, after a while, wasn't going to make me a lot of the money. Went to University of Miami for music as a music scholarship. Uh-huh. And then eventually thought, you know what, I want to put my personality and my music background together. And I thought, what better than to go to law school, right?
Oh, sure, sure. Logical.
Yeah, logical. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to take both of those and go into entertainment law. Had no idea what I was going to do back then. Uh-huh. So eventually went to law school at Barry Law, and they're in Orlando, and took classes, made friends, and eventually it took off, and I graduated, got out of law school, ended up taking the bar, had no idea what I wanted to do then, thought I still wanted to do something with entertainment law, but then eventually now I'm here, and I took a job in Miami, started doing a lot of the foreclosure defense litigation initially. And so the music background, I didn't continue music, but I was able to take a lot of my skill sets from the music world and bring it into the legal world. And it was only then when I really started to get into the foreclosures, the probates, all the real estate world down in Miami.
So you caught my attention at violin. You're a classical type violin player?
Classically trained, yes.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you play for the Miami Symphony or some such organization?
No, I never played for any of the symphonies, but I was very involved with like the community arts programs down when I was there. University of Miami had an orchestra. They had a symphony. So we were really busy with that. Mm-hmm. But no, never really with like the symphonies, like the New World Symphony, but was heavily involved in that music community for a long time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. The legal community beckoned, and there you are in Jacksonville. How'd you happen to choose Jacksonville?
So when I was in Miami, I was still doing a lot of the foreclosure defense. I was dipping myself into a little bit of the probate world. And I had a friend of mine. We went to law school together, best friends. And he had taken a job up in Jacksonville. And when I was in Miami, I was trying to figure out this whole probate niche. So while he was in Jacksonville, an opening came up in the firm, and he said, would you want to take a job up here? Would you want to come from Miami up to Jacksonville? Because if you pitched and sold and, you know, not sell, but like if you explained what you do in the probate world up here in Jacksonville, you'd blow it up. Right. So I said, you know, why not? If I could get paid six times the amount I am in Miami, up in Jacksonville, I'd take that job any day. So I did and ended up taking it, and it took off tremendously up in Jacksonville.
It blew up. Huh?
Blew up. Absolutely. Wow.
And you've been there how long?
About 2.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you hang out at Amelia Island? That's I always think of Amelia Island when I think of Jacksonville.
So the only time I have hung out at Amelia Island is when I'm doing my walk and talk videos, and we'll pick really good spots to go and market and have a great time up there. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's nice.
Very focused in doing what I'm doing.
Gotcha. All right, cool. So I'm going to ask the obvious question. What is probate?
Big question, right? A lot of people want to know what it is. And actually, it's really simple. Somebody owned an asset. Real estate, bank account, car, it's in their individual name. It's not in a land trust. It's not in an LLC. It's in their individual name. They own it, they die. And the next thing you know, in order for the heirs to take title to that real estate, that car, to go get the money out of the bank, there needs to be a court process. So while nobody can see what we're doing, I have a trademark move when explaining it, because it's going from the heir, from the deceased to the heirs, and we're just moving title over. That's it. We move title from the deceased to the heirs. Now the heirs, whoever they are, via will, no will, whoever the true heirs are, can now sell that property, real or personal. That's it. Distribution.
And probate occurs in every case where there is a death and property?
Not necessarily. So that's the key to look out for, right? So there's certain types of properties where somebody may have passed and there's no probate that's needed. You can have a trust, property titled in a trust. No probate's needed there because the trust now directs where the asset goes. A Lady Bird life estate deed. The title is the deed is retitled in the name of the deceased before they die. And upon their death and the recording of a death certificate, the title shifts to the beneficiaries who are named. Or then you have what they call the joint tenants with rights of survivorship. The survival of the fittest deed. Whoever lives the longest gets title to the property. So you may not always need a probate in every situation, because in a deed like that, if that person passes, a death certificate's recorded, title shifts over, no probate's needed. And the biggest one that everybody's so shocked about is the what they call the tenancy by entirety, the husband and wife. Everybody thinks that if the husband's the only one on the deed and he dies and there's a surviving wife of 50, 60 years, that automatically no probate, she gets everything. And that's not the way it works in Florida. It's all about title. So husband's on the deed and the wife's on the deed together, husband and wife. Husband dies, record the death certificate, title shifts over. But if you don't have that scenario and she's not on it, that means a probate's going to happen and homestead gets weird.
I'm guessing this has surprised a few widows or widowers at a horrible time.
It surprised a lot because people didn't realize, they wish they would have done this beforehand. And the surprising part is, in Florida with homestead, if you have that scenario and there's a surviving spouse and children, they all inherit. So if they ever did at that point want to sell, they all got to be on board.
Yeah, we should make the point, if you're listening to this elsewhere in the country or the world, that we're talking about Florida law. Al is a licensed Florida attorney. And so obviously the things he says are going to pertain to Florida. Does Florida have laws that are vastly different from some other states, or what areas are different?
I don't know specifically with other states. I've picked up a few things here and there about a few states like Texas. In Texas, I think I've heard if you have all the heirs on board and everybody's in agreement to do everything, you can avoid probate with the use of an affidavit of heirship. Florida, you can't do that. In Florida, it's going to have to happen. Probate has to happen because you got title insurance. Title insurance doesn't want to take the risk that other heirs can come back and make claims. So the other one I've heard of is North Carolina. North Carolina, if 2 years after date of death, I've heard it's possible that you could do just one of those affidavits of heirships. So those little things are little tweaks. I don't know anything similar to Florida. Maybe I've heard Arizona, but Florida is very unique when you come to probate.
Mm-hmm. Now, does probate apply whether there's a will or not? Where does the will come into it?
Wills do not avoid probate. So if you still have a will and that person passes, you still need to get that will in to probate to decide where those assets are, who it's going to. So people think, oh, I'm just going to go create a will now that I heard the podcast. I'm going to get the will. I'm going to avoid this whole process. Still, you still don't. The idea of a will is you're picking where you want it to go to. So if the scenario works out well, let's just say you don't have spouse, kids, you know, brothers and sisters, but maybe there's a friend and you want to make sure the friend gets something, that's when you use a will to make sure it gets there. Different implications with that. But nonetheless, a will doesn't avoid probate. And even if you don't have a will, you still have to go through probate because in Florida, there's a statute. There's a whole list of where the assets are going. So you always start at spouse, no spouse, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. And there's a whole lineage line of where the assets go. It's fascinating stuff. But with will or not, you still got to go through the whole thing.
Hmm. How long does their surviving spouse, if that's the scenario, have to initiate this process? Or is it automatically initiated by the state?
So you need probate no matter what if the title's still in the name of the deceased, right? And she's not on it, right? Mm-hmm. So it could be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You're still going to need probate in Florida. The key is that husband's on the deed, she's not on the deed, surviving spouse and children, okay? Homestead law says that the spouse has 6 months to elect one of the following. Either take 50-50 with the kids, or she can be in the property for her life with a remainder to the kids. She gets a calculable life estate interest, right? So the younger she is, the more proceeds she gets. The older she is, the less proceeds she gets, and the more the remainder gets. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But after 6 months, it's automatically she gets a life estate remainder to the kids, mm-hmm. which is why it's super important that if you're married, you want to check the deed to see if you're both on it. Because if you're not both on it, that's where it could be a wacky scenario.
Yeah. Now, we're talking mainly about real estate here, but as you mentioned at the onset, this applies to any property, correct?
Yeah, right.
Bank accounts.
Right. Bank accounts. It'd be a little different for a bank account, though. No, if the husband's on the title, the wife's not, and there's still kids, and there are all the kids of the wife, then it all goes to the spouse. But then if you start asking questions that get deeper, did the husband have children from a prior relationship? You get into different distribution stuff. It's wildly crazy why you have to be careful of how your assets are titled.
Now, from your experience, Al, what percentage of the population hadn't prepared for it, this death? Unexpected or not, properly.
Are you talking about in the things that I've seen or just statistics as a whole?
Things that you, both.
I've heard that 95% of people don't even have an estate plan.
Should I have an estate plan?
It depends on your situation. I mean, it not everybody may need it, but like, for example, you could save yourself with a durable power of attorney in case you lose faculties, or a living will, or having a trust if you really want to make sure things go smoothly. But a will can do the same thing if you don't have a lot of crazy assets. Having an estate plan depends on your situation, but a lot of people like having those things in place because you want to make sure your family can take care of you in the event something does happen. But in my world, statistics wise, of like who's got a will and who doesn't, I would say about, I've seen 30 to 35% of anybody that's come through the law firm has a will, and the rest do not.
30 to 35% have it, about a third.
Yeah.
Is that surprising? It is to me.
Sometimes it is to me also. I think recently I've gotten a few cases where there has been a will, and I'm like, I'm just shocked, you know? And sometimes it's leaving it to one child. Sometimes it's leaving it to four of the five, or the one I get. We can get so deep with this kind of stuff. The one that wants to do the probate, there's four on the will, but she's the only surviving one, so she thinks she gets everything. Huh. And it doesn't work that way, but there's a will.
Yeah,
you know?
If the whole process has taken place according to the letter of the law, and we'll get into the process after we take a break in a minute. But if that happens and it's clear that the right thing is not going to be done by the family or the survivors, does the law take a hard stance and say that's the letter of the law? Too bad. Gotcha.
You mean in terms of like if the will says something it shouldn't say?
Or? I'm talking about widows getting thrown out of houses, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so spouses in Florida, they have a huge right. They get 30% of the estate no matter what. So if that husband tries to leave out that spouse out of the will and say, you know what, I want it to just go to my children and I want to leave you out, she can still make what they call an election of 30% of the estate, probate asset, and non-probate asset. Non-probate asset being a Roth with a beneficiary designation. So she can still make that election. You can't leave out the spouse. But the one I saw recently, which was pretty crazy, was this guy passed. He had no surviving spouse. He had a minor child. He lived there. He resided at this property, the guy that died. And in the will, he left it to the mom, his mother. Well, a lot of you would say, well, you know what? There's a will. It's going to the mom. Well, you can't do that. If there's a spouse or a minor child, you have serious, what they call homestead devising, and it just, you're not going to get around that. So you can't exclude that minor from that will. So the minor's going to get an interest. The mom's not.
Ah, wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, if a person has met the requirements of the Florida homestead exemption and claims residency in the state, does that automatically mean that Florida probate rules will apply to that person, or can they follow probate rules in another state?
So Florida probate rules are going to be what they are in this state, right? So whether they claim the homestead or not, for homestead purposes, it's whether they lived and resided at that property, right? They can own other properties in Florida. Florida probate is going to apply to Florida. Other states can't dictate what Florida does here in state. So what we'll see a lot is somebody died out of state in Arizona. Mm-hmm. They lived and resided in Arizona. But back in the 90s, they bought land here in Fort Myers. They bought it in Naples off the auctions, right? But the family didn't know about it. So now all of a sudden, you know, realtors, investors do their mailers, cold call, and they find out who the heir is and say, hey, do you know mom and dad own this? And they say, well, no, we had no idea. Well, what you'll find out is we need to do probate in order to sell this property, but the Arizona doesn't apply. Arizona law doesn't apply. It's Florida law. So everything in Florida applies Florida-wise.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you, Al. We're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, as I mentioned, let's talk about the process of probate. What happens from the day it needs to be invoked? So we'll be right back after this very brief message.
Hi. Hi, I'm Josh Cadillac, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, this is Sandra Aguilar, President of the Women's Council of Realtors Cape Coral Fort Myers, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
This is Jim Sandville, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Southwest Florida is famous for its beautiful beaches and waterways. The Realtor Political Action Committee fights to protect those pieces of paradise. The environment is crucial to your business and the future of Southwest Florida as a whole. Investing as little as $20 in RPAC helps protect our home and promotes clean waterways and clean beaches. Protect our environment by investing in RPAC today. For more information or to invest, contact Kevin Besser, Director of Public Policy, at kevin@rpcra.org.
We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
Back on the Royal Palmcast with our guest, Al Nicoletti. Al is an attorney. He works out of the Jacksonville, Florida area, but he knows about all things Florida law. Well, most things, many things, especially real estate law. That's kind of the area where he lives. And I should mention that Al, if he sounds like an experienced podcast guest, that's because he's actually a host of his own show called The Al Nicoletti Show, not surprisingly, which you can catch on weekly on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Twitch, I always think of Twitch as a gaming platform.
It is.
So how does that work out?
You know, it's just another channel. It's another avenue to push content out there. You got a different audience. You have a younger audience. So almost like having TikTok, right? If you post things on YouTube, you get a wide range. You get TikTok. You're in a maybe somewhere between the 20s, the 30s. And, you know, so different audience. Yeah, actually have a few people that do watch on Twitch.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Jeez, maybe we should run the Royal Palmcast on Twitch.
Why not?
Yeah.
We've got it in many, many places.
I'll check into that. Yeah, yeah.
Tried that one yet.
It's on many, many podcasts, about 15 apps plus YouTube.
Yeah.
And social media. But in any event, let's get back to discussing probate. Is there anything you should do before a death occurs? Let's say right now, should I call my lawyer, call you, call somebody and say, what do I need to do to avoid probate, right? Is that the goal?
Yeah. I mean, if the goal is to not wanting your family to go through a court process, right, to go through what they all hear as being the long drawn out probate, which I hope we'll make sure we talk about that probate doesn't have to take forever, then maybe it'll change everybody's mind. But if you want to avoid it, ladybird deeds, you know, having unique estate planning tools like a ladybird deed, the property's titled in your name. All a ladybird deed is a retitling of the property. So you own it for your life. You still can withdraw it, revoke it. And if you want to sell it, getting full profits from the sale. So you're not locked in it's called an enhanced life estate deed, ladybird deed. And then you're choosing where you want your assets to go. It's a little different than a life estate deed, because a life estate deed does the same function of retitling it. So you live there for your life, choosing who you want to get the house when you pass. The problem is with a life estate deed, if you ever want to sell it, you need their consent as well.
Lady Bird deed. Where does that name come from?
The Lyndon B. Johnson era. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Lady Bird Johnson.
Yeah, Lady Bird Johnson.
What is her connection with this?
I think she was, I don't know the full background, but I believe she was one of the first ones to actually come up and use this strategy to make sure that they didn't have to go through that whole probate process.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think Lady Bird was her real name, right?
I think so.
And her daughter Linda Bird. Linda Bird, yeah. Yeah, anyway. Enough about LBJ. We'll get into that on another show, right, Jerry?
Fun facts, Jim. Fun
well,
facts.
I do love them, but I don't know that there was one there. You mentioned that people are probate has a reputation of being a long, drawn-out legal affair. How long does it take?
I would surprise you.
Surprise me.
So I've been able to do probates in Tampa in a matter of 2 weeks. Jacksonville, a matter of 1 to 3 weeks, sometimes a few days. I've done stuff in Miami in a matter of 8 days, Broward County, 30 days, Lee County, 20 days, Collier County, 3 weeks. I've done them all over Florida.
What's typical?
Typical, everybody here, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 2 years. They all hear it takes super long, forever. And I don't know why, right? I don't know what has transpired in the whole niche. I don't know if people treat probate as a, we pick it up, we put it down, we'll get there, pick it up, put it down. But people don't want to be treated that way, yeah, right? Yeah. They want to have that attention with things. So the niche, I've really realized, can be something where, especially it helps realtors in such a hot market, investors in such a hot market, where the buyers are just wanting to grab that property and make sure they list it, get it sold. A probate has for a long time not been a favorable niche because a realtor doesn't want to have that listed for 200 days and then finally get a buyer and it's dried up, right? Mm-hmm. It's a dry lead. But now when you have somebody that can get these things done efficiently, quickly, it changes your mindset.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So what is the process? If someone dies, if a woman's husband dies, she would somehow know to call you. Who would advise her?
The realtor, the investor, Jim, Jerry, anybody really that knows who I would be to do that, that I do the probate world. They initially reach out, say, hey, We got to get this whole probate thing done. We're under contract for the sale of the house. The realtor's been bugging us and blowing up our phone that we got to get in touch with you. So they get in touch. We find out the whole story, right? Mm-hmm. So many times we'll have somebody reach out and say, yep, it's just five of us. We're all on board. We're ready to do this thing. And then that one of them signs up. Everybody eventually looks at all the probate documents. They're in agreement. They're cool with everything that's going on. They know they're going to get their distribution at the end. So we get all the paperwork we need. We file it. And then we get their case number. We get everything down to the judge and wrap it up.
So when you say everybody, you're talking about the parties right. Who stand to benefit.
The heirs, the right. Ones that would be.
Are there cases or how common is it where someone will say, I don't know, I'm going to throw a wrench into this whole process? Does that happen?
Once in a while. But then it always comes down to money, right? How much does it take for them to get out of that house? But in the event they are resistant to getting out, there are potential options to figuring out how to still get that house sold because some of these properties are distressed, right? We're not talking about the one that's probably on the water, on the canal that looks beautiful. We're talking about properties that are distressed. They're a sword of the community in a way, right? So if you have that situation, there's something called probate, and then there's something after that called partition, which is a forced sale. So those that want to sell can force the sale out from the one that does not want to sell. Mm-hmm. So that's a totally different strategy. It's one of the things that we do, but it's definitely unique.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, I could go on and on. I have so many more questions, Al, but unfortunately, time is drawing us to the point of actually my favorite part of the program. Jerry, do you agree?
Yes.
Jerry knows what's coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
boy.
I don't think I warned you
Jim's
about this,
favorite.
Al, but
no,
this is a little something we call the lightning round. The lightning round is where we really get to know you as a person, Al. We're going to find out a little bit about your favorite things and your likes, dislikes, pet peeves, stuff like that. So if you are ready, I will begin the lightning round.
Let's do it.
All right. Now, we're looking for sound bite answers, just real quick snippets, and I'm going to begin right now. Now, by the way, I shouldn't fail to mention that this is a big deal for Jerry because he has to get up early on the mornings of the show when we do the lightning round.
Yeah. You can see. I look exhausted, right?
Yep. Well, exactly. And I don't blame you, Jerry, because we've got all the lightning round questions on official game show host 3x5 cards. We've got them stashed away in a Supra lockbox in North Fort Myers. It used to be in Lehigh Acres. We moved North Fort Myers. Mm-hmm. Jerry went out there this morning and to the Seaver location, got the questions. Do you have them for me now, Jerry?
I do, Jim. Let me just
get that Supra box open. Realtors know that sound. Yeah. You got all of them there?
That's it.
You kind of make sure the deck's not light. No, that seems to be everything. Okay, lightning round. Here we go with no further delay. All right. If you didn't live in Florida, Al, where would you live?
Right now, I'd have to say Texas is looking pretty cool.
Texas, huh?
Yeah, I love the community that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a whole nother country,
yes,
as they used to say. What is your guilty pleasure? Something you don't typically reveal.
Guilty pleasure. Could it be sweets or...
it can be anything. Sure.
I mean, love chocolate.
Get specific. What are we talking? Oreo cookies here? Are we talking about Whitman samplers?
Ooh.
What do you indulge with?
I love those ice cream sandwiches.
The Eskimo pies?
Not the Eskimo ones, but the ice cream.
Oh, yeah, with the brown. With the, yeah,
like a chocolate chip.
It's a classic frozen treat.
Yeah.
I got to agree with you on that one. All right. Now, what childhood hobby do you still have?
I would have to say, do I keep it or do I still have it around me?
Are you still engaged in the hobby?
It'd have to be music in a way. Still a little bit. I don't play it, but I'm still surrounded by those people. Yeah,
your avocation. All right, I gotcha. All right, now tell me about some of your favorite things. Your favorite TV show?
Wow, Breaking Bad.
Oh, solid.
Oh, that's a winner.
Solid. You got three likes on that one. Your favorite food, Al?
Pasta.
Pasta. That's classic. Classic. Yeah. And your favorite movie?
Wow.
I have not heard of that one.
I mean, there's so many I can think of. I mean,
last movie you saw that you loved?
Dunkirk.
Dunkirk. Jerry?
Yeah, that was a very well made movie.
I'm not familiar with Dunkirk, sadly, but I will be soon. What's your dream car, Al?
Dream car, and I don't think it's changed really. I would love to have a BMW, and not M4 or M6. With carbon fiber brakes, black interior.
Wow.
M6.
Wow, you're three more cases from getting that.
Yeah. More like 100, but that's okay.
About 100, okay. What celebrity have you been told you most resemble?
Matthew Broderick.
Jerry? Yeah? Matthew Broderick?
I can see a little bit.
A long time ago.
I see it. Do you do any imitations, Al?
I probably could do some imitations.
Anyone we've heard of, or you imitate your barber or something?
Right, I could do those kinds of things. Right,
yeah, like I know coworkers.
Right, exactly.
From
yeah,
former jobs, not this one. All right, fair enough. And I hold in my hand the last lightning round question. You get one bucket list item, Al. What is it?
It's got to be traveling to Europe.
Europe?
Yeah.
You've not been to Europe?
No.
Wow. Well, there's so much to see.
Yeah.
You're a history buff, I can tell.
Yeah. Well, not really history. I mean, I look at a map and I say, that looks really good.
Oh, it's good.
You know?
It's good. It's time-tested.
Right.
It's a whole nother country.
Yeah, like Italy, Germany, traveling around, doing that stuff. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, Al, thanks for being a sport and playing the lightning round with us. We appreciate that. If folks want to get in touch with you, Al Nicoletti, how do they do that?
So many ways. So I have a phone number, 904-999-0053. I also have my email address, al@alnicoletti, nicoletti.com. I have a website, www.alnicoletti.com. You can also find it on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes. I have the show on iTunes and everything that's rolling out every Wednesday that's live. I'm on Instagram, @attorneynicoletti. The YouTube channel is under Al Nicoletti. I have a Facebook personal page and a Facebook business page under Al Nicoletti. And I don't even know any other social media platforms I'm on. Maybe LinkedIn, some other crazy things.
Sure.
But I'm all over the place. You can find me on all the channels.
And you're about to be on the Royal Palmcast when we push this out onto our social media. So, thanks so much for coming in today and sharing your expertise about probate. It's a topic that people don't know enough about. I definitely will count myself among that group. But so thanks for enlightening us.
No, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jerry, so much.
Great
thank
information.
You. Good stuff. And you can reach out to us at the Royal Palmcast by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. That's shows@rpcra.org. I want to thank everyone here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. Jerry Johnson, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jim Sandville.
You're the best, Jerry. You're the best.
Oh, thanks.
Another person who is the best, and we can have two best. That's Beata Jones.
That's right.
Beata is our CEO. She supports what we do. And everyone who works here is just a joy to work with, and we love coming to work every day. So I want to thank you, the listener, most importantly, for hanging in there and learning with us every show about real estate topics. We do appreciate that. And if you are enjoying the show, please let a friend know and share the episodes, like them, follow us, and all that stuff. You know what to do on your platform. Again, I'm Jim Sandville with Jerry Johnson and our guest, Al Nicoletti, wishing you goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week. Share and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube.